Well, this is another sermon. This is another part of a sermon of a series we've been looking at in the book of James. And we've talked about trials and how we all face trials. We've talked about how to handle trials, how to persevere, how to push towards perseverance. We talked about how to gain patience, how to do that during trials. We've talked about how to develop perseverance. We've talked about how to get pure joy. We've talked about how to have pure joy and blessing whenever we have trials. And the other thing is wisdom. Now, I think we need wisdom not only during trials, but all the time. We need wisdom in our homes. We need wisdom in our lives. We need wisdom in this church. We need wisdom. And more importantly, we need God wisdom. And that's what we're going to talk about. Because last week, we said the more with God, the wiser you get. The simple analogy, you're walking with someone right beside them. You can hear what they're saying. You can talk to them. You can have a conversation. You can hear them. But if we take different directions, you walk that way, I walk this way, the farther away you get, the harder it is to hear, and it's harder for them to hear. And with a relationship with God, we have to walk with God all the time. Because we can hear from God, and we can listen to God, and we can know God. So the more with God, the wiser you get. And I have these points up here, Reuben, for the screen. The second one is ask and listen to God. So we ask God for wisdom. We ask God, Lord, I need wisdom. You can ask God every day for wisdom. He'll give it to you. And then you listen to God. Listen to God. And wisdom from God must be from God. So, Pastor, where do I start? How do I begin this process? It's very simple. You read the Word of God. You pray to Him. You know Him. You ask for wisdom. And you can just simply read a proverb a day. Just start in Proverbs 1. You see Solomon and he sets it up. What is wisdom? He says, I'm going to give this to you. And then you just start reading. Just read a proverb a day. Then you'll read 2, 3, 4. You'll go beyond there. You begin to read them so much that you'll begin to see that they will stick in your mind. And what's amazing about Solomon and his Proverbs is that so many of them apply today. Right. It's amazing. Well, it's the Word of God. Yes. But that's pure wisdom. And when you think like a proverb, you're a wise person. And so you got to ask God, you got to desire God, you got to know if this wisdom is from God, and you got to believe it during all these times and trials. Because James says in 1:6, when you ask Him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. And in verse 6, he says, do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Last week, I read that to you, and while I read it, we had a video of the oceans and the water crashing in to the waves and to the rocks. And you saw how unsettling that looks. Well, James painting a picture to his audience in the church. He's painting a picture to us, which says, you got to be strong. Because when you don't, your faith is like that water. It's not strong. It's not settled at all. So be sure that your loyalty is on God. It's settled strong. And you stick on path and you will gain the wisdom. Now, there are two kinds of wisdom, as James said in James 3. He said that this wisdom that is from bitterness, from enviness, from selfish ambition, that boast about it or deny the true truth, that is earthly wisdom. That is wisdom that is not from God. But in verse 17, he says, the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving. It's considerate. It's submissive. It's full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Now remember, Paul said, as we talked about in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit. He says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. I want to let you know, if I were you, I'd try to memorize that verse. I'd try to memorize it, not just for wisdom, but for everyday life. Because you can discern a lot of things by doing that. You can say, you may have done something, And you could say, you know what, am I on the right track? Am I producing the fruit of the Spirit? Was that love? Am I experiencing joy and peace and kindness and goodness? Am I being faithful to this? Am I gentle? And do I have self-control or do I not? It's a good thing to keep our spirit and our soul in check. And also going back to peacemakers, Jesus says himself in Matthew 5:9, the Beatitudes, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Amen. So we know what's of God. We know what's not of God. We want to have wisdom. We want to learn. We want to make sure we're doing the right things. We're walking with God. And we know that by with Scripture and having the right list in order. So we have to know what's God, what's not God, and I want to encourage you, no matter what it is, ask God for wisdom. Yes. Reminded of a story. I told you about my other grandfather. Now I'm going to talk about the other one, Thomas Darty, who was a pastor here over 20 years ago. And it's interesting how now I'm the pastor here. But he had a tremendous testimony. He was 19 years old. He wasn't a Christian. He didn't believe in all that. You know, he thought it was strange. You know, when he was a kid, he'd walk by the church and he'd see the Assembly of God church and he'd run really quick because he was scared of it. You know, and the rumor was that if you went in their church, they'd pour oil all over you, all over your head. You know how that is. And so he was scared to go to church. He didn't want to go to church. But then he got drafted. At 19, he got drafted. Went over war. Went overseas. And there was a man that gave him a Gideon Bible. And he saw a man, and he was watching him, and he saw the other man was reading this Gideon Bible, and he said it looked like his face was just like lightened up, that he was really reading something that was legitimate. And my grandfather was a very intelligent man, and so intellect's a big thing for him. So he noticed that there was something changing in that man's mind and his soul. Something was real about that book. So he began to read it. And he got saved. He accepted Jesus Christ into his heart. He goes into the battle, World War II, the beaches of Normandy, Battle of the Bulge, brutal, brutal stuff. And then in the battle lines, God spoke to him for the very first time and said, "You will preach my word." And he accepted the call. Right after that, he was wounded by Artillery 88, which is basically be like a big bomb. And if you're near it, you're going to die. And it came down and it blew up and it knocked a lot of his men out. But he survived miraculously. The medics there didn't really give him much of a chance because he had shrapnel on his feet. He had shrapnel on his chest. He had shrapnel behind him. He had shrapnel in his arm. And so they took him in and he could hear people, you know, by the tone. He was conscious, but, you know, he wasn't really there. But he could hear things and he knew that it didn't sound good. It didn't look like he'd make it. And so they took him into the area where they take all the soldiers, the wounded soldiers in, and the doctor would check in on him every day, wouldn't say a word, you know. And he noticed my grandpa started getting better and everything. And so the doctor came in and said, "Well," he said, looks like you're going to make it." And he said, "Well, why didn't you come?" He said, "Oh, I thought you'd be dead any day. I just checked in to wait to see when you died." He said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "But you just can't kill those Texans. They just don't want to die." So they kind of chuckled about it. And shortly after that, they went in for surgery. And in his book, he said that he heard a couple of medics say when they were carrying him in, they said, "Be careful with him. He ain't going to make it." But he made it. Went to SAGU, well, SBI at the time, got married, started pastoring, planting churches. So he was always at a disadvantage, right? So he had to ask for wisdom. He had to ask God for wisdom a lot, and he had to ask God for help. And so one day, they got a house. Now, this was a personal house, and they had to put new shingles on the roof. Now, the thing is, these were called Cedar Ridge shingles, which were different than normal shingles, right? And so he had to fix the roof. So in his book, he said, "I could have easily asked my brothers. They wouldn't have said anything. They would have fixed it." He said, "But this was my personal roof. It wasn't the church's roof, and I wanted to fix it myself. And I wanted God to help me." And so he began this thing. How can I fix Cedar Ridge shingles, which are different, and I only have one arm because it was amputated? They couldn't make it. And it was his dominant arm. So he's at a disadvantage. But he wants to put this roof on. He wants to do it. And so he would look and he would try to find ways. How can a one-arm with left-hand man put on Cedar Ridge singles as well? Because it's a pretty hard thing to do. Big disadvantage, right? So he had all the measurements in his mind. He goes into the lumber yard and he's asking, Lord, I want to do this. I want to do this. He asked for wisdom. And so he's in the place and he's walking up and he notices in this town that there's another man with an amputated right arm that goes up to his elbow. Same kind of thing my grandpa had. And so he kind of got close to the, and he kind of felt like he needed to listen in on the conversation. So he listened in on the conversation, and guess what they were talking about? Putting new shingles on a roof, okay? And guess what else they were talking about? How to put on Cedar Ridge shingles, which was rare. And not only that, the guy with one arm was learning, or he was teaching, how to do it with your left hand only. And so my grandpa didn't think about it at the time, so he listened to it, and he said it was so easy a child could learn how to put on Cedar Ridge shingles with a left arm only. And he put that on, and he said when he got in his car, he realized, what are the odds of me walking into a store and seeing a man with a right arm that's amputated who has to use his left arm to put on Cedar Ridge shingles, which is not an ordinary shingle job to do, and teach me how to do it, and he had no idea. All my grandpa did was listen in on those two talking. You see, a lot of times, God wants us to go beyond and out. And he gives us wisdom when we don't understand it or we're not expecting it. Right. Now, that's a pretty funny, humorous story, but it's also very significant because my grandpa's at a disadvantage. And that was considered a trial all throughout his life. But God provided for him. So a lot of times, we've got to listen to God. And a lot of times, we have to listen around because we may gain our wisdom. Now, I'll go a little bit more on that, but we can gain wisdom by watching and listening to other people as well.
Right.
But James 3, verses 14. Remember, he says, do not harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts. That is not godly wisdom. Do not deny the truth. And doing things our way is not always the best way. Which brings me to my first point, which is follow God's plan, not your plan.
Yes.
We always say this. You probably heard it. If you grew up in church, you probably heard that your whole life. Follow God's plan. But you know, naturally, I can just be honest with us here. Naturally, we want to go with our own plan.
Right.
I mean, that's just the way it is. But when we follow God's plan and not your plan, that's the plan to follow. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You may have heard something else throughout your life called follow your heart. Listen to your heart. What does it say? And I believe that we can have desires and passions that are godly and what God wants. I get all that. But when it comes to the human heart itself, gaining the earthly wisdom and listening to our heart is not that reliable. And so I heard a few sermons growing up, and I heard a few people talk about, and we'd read passages, and the heart of the human is actually not that good. So when you study the word heart in the Bible, and you look at and you translate it from the original language, this is what the human heart says in the Bible. And we'll read them off to you. The Bible says that the human heart is wicked. The heart is sick. The heart is perverse. The heart is evil. It's insane. It's unclean. The human heart is deceitful. It's disloyal. It's unpleasant. It's unbelieving. The heart can be blind. The heart can be deceived. The heart is hardened. The heart can be proud. It can be greedy. It can be foolish. Idolatry is involved with our heart if we let it. The heart is rebellious. The heart is stubborn. And there's probably a couple more. That's what the human heart is to the Bible. That's what God says to the Bible. The Bible says that the human heart is this. So friends, I want to tell you, if you're looking for wisdom, don't follow your own heart. Follow God.
Yes.
Follow His plan.
Hallelujah.
And have God's mind and God's heart. Now, the other thing is we can also get advice. Now, I've gotten a lot of great advice from wise men, and I've tried to take that on, but I've also got some bad advice. It's okay to ask for advice, but we always got to make sure that God's plan is prevailing, God's plan's working, and that God's in it. One example of this is Father Abraham. We all know who Father Abraham is. If you don't, Father Abraham, he has many, many descendants, right? God told Father Abraham, look up at the stars. That's how many people you're going to have. That's how many descendants be for you, Abraham. Abraham, you've took this long journey. You've gone through the thick and thin, and now God has blessed Abraham. But there's one thing that Abraham wants. He wants a son. The Bible says that Abraham cried out to him, Lord, if you would just give me a son of my own flesh and blood, I want to hand down everything you've given to me. I want to hand it down to my son. Because if not, under that custom, it would be handed down to another boy that was pretty much appointed or adopted in that family. That's how the custom was. But Abraham wanted someone from his own flesh and blood. And God said, Abraham, you will. You will have this. And so they wrestled with it. And they said, okay, God said that I'm going to have a son. But then they had their own logic in mind. Now, we give Sarah a bad rep on this, but you got to understand this too. She was way past the age of giving a child. And under that custom, if you had a child through your slave, that would be considered your son. So Sarah thought with a logical idea, Abraham, this isn't a sin, so I'm going to send the slave. Hagar's going to have your baby, and it will still be your son, and you can hand this off to your technical flesh and blood. Makes sense. But remember, God said, Abraham, from your own flesh and blood, I'm going to give you a son. I'm going to give you a son. But they went with the logical idea. In Genesis 15, he says, this man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. But they went with their own. Abraham and Sarah faced trials. They persevered. They had a lot of wisdom. But they got it wrong on that one. Now, Ishmael was born. It wasn't well. Sarah didn't like it. There was a big dispute. They had to go. And eventually God did his plan whenever Abraham and Sarah became pregnant. And a miracle took place. And they had the son as God originally planned. So sometimes we may get logical advice, or we will get wisdom that seems legit, but you got to make sure it's God's plan. You got to make sure this is what God wants. So you have to discern that. That's what we've been talking about. Another example is Job. Job went through some hard trials. I mean, he had things on his skin that were painful. He lost his family, but he was a faithful man, very faithful. But he had some friends, and his friends gave him bad advice. Now, it seemed logical advice, but it wasn't God's advice. And at the end of that story, God rebukes his friends and said, this is not my plan. And then Job learned what God wanted. So sometimes we get advice from people. It's okay to listen. It's a good thing, right? It's okay to get wisdom from people. We get a lot of advice and wisdom from people. But I just want to say, let's make sure that it's God's plan. And let's make sure it's godly wisdom. Which brings me to my second point, which is simply this. Good wisdom is God's wisdom.
Yes.
Very simple. Good wisdom is God wisdom. Ask God, desire God, know if it is God. One example of this is Gideon. The Israelites during that time in the Old Testament, they were being defeated by the enemy. And God said, Gideon, I'm going to appoint you to make the Israelites victorious. And Gideon wanted to make sure that was God. And so he had reassurance to make sure this was God. And so he put out something that would be a confirmation, and God confirmed that, and then they went to the battle. And what's amazing is how much wisdom Gideon had during that battle. So Gideon gained reassurance from the Lord, and they began to fight back. And so The Bible says that Gideon commanded his 300 soldiers to surround the Midian camp. And it made it look like the enemy was completely outnumbered with just 300. And they defeated them. Gideon was used in a mighty way by God. But he made sure that the wisdom and that this was of God. It's okay to ask for confirmation. It's okay to ask for reassurance. It's okay to make sure that this is from God. How do we do that? We ask God. We listen to God. We know if it's God through His Word.
Yes. Through His Word.
If the Bible contradicts anything that you're told or you hear, it's not of God.
Right.
Because the Bible is the living Word of God. During that battle, Gideon faced a lot of war and trials, and he asked for wisdom. You may be facing trials today. You may be having some big questions that are coming up. You may be wondering, Lord, what do I do? I got this big job, or I have to take this other job, or I just got laid off. I can't find my child. I'm worried about my family member, or Lord, I need wisdom in my life. I'm not sure these things are happening to me. I don't know what to do. Whatever it may be, why don't you be Gideon and ask for reassurance? Listen. Listen to the Lord. Read His Word. Pray to Him. When you gain peace, when you receive kindness, when you see it's in the Word of God, that's godly wisdom. I'm going to take it. And you'll be surprised at how God will give you wisdom during that time. You'll be surprised at how you seem like you're outnumbered and you seem like there's no way you can do this. And you ask God, Lord, I need wisdom. Lord, I need peace. Oh, Lord, I need to get through this trial. And you push towards perseverance. Friends, I'm telling you, you will receive pure joy through God and you will see wisdom. And people will see you handle that situation. They go, man, boy, did you handle that right? And that's when it's your turn to say, I asked God to get me through this. I asked God for wisdom, and I received it from Him, and I give Him all the praise and glory for it. We face the battles and the wars in our lives. But whenever we face it with God, no matter how bad the war and trial can be, we can still get pure joy from it. Because
yes.
He's a faithful God. He's with us all the time. And He says, ask Me. When we ask God for wisdom, when we desire, we ask, and we know it's of God, we will receive pure joy.